This is FBG Jen
and FBG Kristen.
And I'm FBG Margot, host and producer. You're listening to the podcast that will help you keep a lid on the junk in the trunk and inspire you to live a happy and confident life.
Each episode, we chat with motivational experts and celebs and share our own candid adventures in being healthy.
If you're looking for a podcast that's equal parts hilarious and enlightening, well then welcome to the Fit Bottoms Girls podcast.
Welcome back to the Fit Bottom Girls podcast. On the show today, we have myself, Margot, and we have Jen.
Hey, guys.
And we have Kristen.
Hola.
Hola. So I wrote to you guys first week of January because there was this excellent article in the New York Times on the wellness blog. You have to get the Well blog on New York Times. Check it out every week. It's fantastic. And they had an article called The Year of Conquering Negative Thinking. And the author of the piece was Leslie Alderman. And she's based in Brooklyn. She's a therapist. And I just love this article so much. I sent it to you guys. I said, can we please have her on the show? Please, please, please. And you're like, absolutely, book it. And she was great. She said yes right away. And we did talk to her about the piece, and we talked about our readers and our listeners talk to us about negative thinking and, you know, how you can sabotage yourself with your mind, your emotions and things like that. And so it's a really important topic. So I just want to talk to you guys about how do you overcome negative thinking? Like, are there strategies, are there ways that you try to overcome negative thoughts and boost your mood? And what do you do?
Okay. So this is Jen. I have a couple of different things. I have a feeling, Kristen, is Power Pose one of yours?
If you use it, I will just back you up on the power of the
okay,
Power Pose.
I'm gonna let you do Power Pose. Okay. But just know that Power Pose is one that I use.
It's calm.
More on that in a second, guys. It's really good. It's like a super easy and quick one that like always works. I am really bummed that I missed this interview because that was like, I'm so excited to hear it because that was such an amazing article. And I think it's so cool that the conversation from like a major news outlet has shifted at the beginning of the year from being like lose 10 pounds to overcome negative thinking, because if you overcome negative thinking, then you're probably more likely to make healthy choices that then result in weight loss. So it's cool to see just the thought train just move up a little bit further, you know, into getting to the root cause of things. So I think that's really cool. But whenever I'm feeling kind of like down or negative, one of the things I always do is just like sit quietly. And I don't know, and it's not always just meditation. Sometimes it really is just like 5 minutes of just being away from like all noise. And I'm even talking about like the buzz of your computer. You know how like, kind of like no matter what you're doing, if you're around it, you can still like hear it. So I should like just go outside and just listen to birds or whatever and just be quiet and kind of center down into myself. And during the winter, I just tried this thing on, I did a full review on FitBottom Zen. I can send, I can put the link or make sure the link are in the show notes, but it's this thing called a human charger that puts something they call ear light. Like it has little earbuds and then it has light in the earbuds. So the light goes in your ear and it's basically like light therapy. But instead of it going all over your body, it just goes into the sensors that are apparently in your ears. So if you're someone that suffers from seasonal affective disorder, or you just tend to just be a little bit like blah when there's not much sunlight or it's winter, it kind of like gives you that boost with your circadian rhythms to give you energy. And so I really like it. And it's set to a 12-minute timer. So when you put it in your ears, I'll kind of do that. Even if I just have the intention of like, okay, I'm going to get my ear light and this might kind of boost my mood a little bit, but I usually find since it is like 12 minutes is a long enough time for the meditation to be like deeper, but not so long that I won't do it. Then I'll just kind of sit there for that timer and then it just goes beep and then I'm done. It's like my little ear light thing. The other thing that I do, yeah, it's really cool. It's really cool. And it was just really like a unique thing. And I like saying ear light. It just seems sci-fi, techie, I don't know.
We live in the future.
I know. You have ear light? I have ear light. The other thing I like to do is just use like a simple phrase or mantra. Mm-hmm. And I do this whether it's like if I'm having a workout that I'm mentally struggling through, because sometimes, let's face it, workouts are more mentally challenging than they are physically challenging. Or it's, you know, trying to make the healthier decision, or just, you know, I'm having a rough day with my daughter or something, or she's really cranky and it's just hard to stay patient. Like no matter what that is, I find that if I usually either say, you got this, or dare greatly, which is a Teddy Roosevelt quote that has kind of been like taken over by Brené Brown. and like she has a book on it and stuff like that. I find that those two phrases, as simple as they are, just somehow kind of like just put me back into my power, mm-hmm. and just all of that kind of like talk that I may have in my head, this back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, it just somehow kind of dissolves that and allows me sink more into my power to be like, dude, it's cool. You got this. Dare greatly. Be courageous. And then from there, just with that reminder, I kind of like tap back into a deeper place, and I'm able to get myself feeling a little bit better or in a place to make a better decision, which then makes me feel better.
What about you, Kristen?
Well, I have a few things. One of them, I don't want to go into too much because we talk about it, I believe, in the interview, but I breathe, mm-hmm. which sounds like, well, of course you do, but, you know, taking long, sustained, deep breaths is very helpful for me. It's something I do a lot. And then I also utilize some aromatherapy with that. And I find that that makes a big difference for me. And I have different oils that I'm so not good at this. Like, I don't know what anything is really supposed to do. So they actually say like, recharge, harmony, refresh, soothe, happy, like, and that tells me what they are in there, but I don't care. They just smell good. And I have like diffusers, and I mean, I'm not like scientific about this at all. I just know that like things that smell good make me feel happier. And so I'll just put them in like in a diffuser, or I'll, sometimes put a few drops on my hands and like rub them and then breathe that in. And I'll utilize those sometimes if I'm going, like if I decide to go through like a little bit of a yoga flow, putting smells that comfort you or soothe you or make you feel energized or whatever it is you need. Having those like on, you know, on your hands, but then also maybe putting them like on your feet or some other areas that as you're going through a flow, you will catch whiffs. That was a kind of a cool tip I picked up recently. So I like that. And so the power pose though that Jen sort of teased, this is an Amy Cuddy thing. If you haven't, have we talked about this before already? Mm-mm. I feel like we have.
Mm-mm. I don't think so.
No.
I think you and I just talk about it a lot.
Yeah. Well, and I talked about it. I mean, basically every presentation I've ever done for FBG, like I touch on this at some point because I really find it to be really important and really helpful and something that honestly everybody can do. So if you have a chance, you've got your computer or your phone or something handy, which I assume you do since you're listening to our podcast. If you search for the Amy Cuddy, C-U-D-D-Y TED Talk on power poses, or power postures, I think she calls it, that's going to give you more information than I'm even going to come close to getting into. But essentially, think about the way Superman or Wonder Woman stands. Picture a CEO sitting at his or her desk, really trying to look like the boss. Picture someone up on stage and just really commanding that stage. And I'm betting that as you're picturing that in your head, there are a few different postures that come to mind. And essentially they are standing up or sitting up very straight and taking up space with arms, hands, legs, whatever it is. And it has been, and I guess I could have prepared for this and actually had the information right handy for me, but it's been scientifically proven that just a few moments in these kinds of poses, breathing deeply, really just like feeling like you're there in your power, like it chemically changes your brain and it makes you feel more confident. It makes you feel, at least for me, it makes me feel more calm, which probably goes with the confidence thing. But yeah, I mean, before I do basically anything that scares me a little bit, you will see me standing like serious Wonder Woman, just like legs, you know, feet apart, hands on hips, shoulders back all the time. And oh, you guys do that for just like a minute or two. It will
works.
Change your life.
Oh, she would be a great guest. For the record, she would be a great guest.
Yes, let's put that out there. Amy, I'm a fangirl. I won't be weird, but if you want to come hang out with us, that would be...
We might make you like stand like Wonder Woman with us. But
yes.
But that's not weird.
No, not weird at all. Margo, what about you?
I'm a lot like you. Like a lot of the things you're saying, like I do the same thing. I really start concentrating on my breathing because I can feel myself getting panicked when I get negative thoughts. And I've trained myself, inhale for 8 counts, exhale for 8 counts. and do that at least four times, and my heart rate immediately goes down. I shut off the music if I'm blaring music. I like to hear music when I'm working, but I turn everything off, and I just start breathing. And then I'm all about the scents. We've talked about scents before. I've got scented candles, and I don't know what they do either. They have to explicitly tell me, you know, relaxation, lavender. I'm like, okay.
Yes.
I get that.
That's what I have on right now, actually.
Got it. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so I'll put that on, especially wintertime, you know, and part of my apartment where I work, I don't really have a big window. So this time of year, it's kind of tough for me. And then for me, actually, this is so dorky, but what kind of gets me out of my headspace are my pets, my cats, you know? When I'm really kind of like feeling that way, I stop everything. I go over and I check them out, and one of them will land on their belly, you know, show me their belly immediately. And then I'd like rub the belly. I'm like, okay, you know, okay, so this is kind of annoying, but I can do this and then do that. And I kind of talk things out, and then I feel great. And so I think pets are really important for mental health. If you like them, get them, you know, put up with all the stuff you have to put up with, because I think honestly, they give me more than I give them. You know, they really do enhance my life, and they really help bring some joy in my life when I, you know, I could be a total stress bucket. So that's how
they're so worth it.
Yeah,
they really are. And there's nothing like a happy dog or a cat to just remind you, like, you know what? If you just get down to the basics, like, my dog's really happy about dinner tonight.
Yes, you know? Exactly. Like,
maybe I should just focus on living a more simpler life here. Focus on what I can be grateful for. Yeah.
And then I just tell myself, just do one thing at a time, right? Just like cut it down. What's the most important thing? Sometimes I have to tell myself, what am I paid to do? You know, what am I not paid to do? Start with the thing you're paid to do, and then do, you know, mix it around that way. But yeah, I have to just, I just have those kind of strategies that I've developed. And then for me, and I found this out about you guys, you know, I have favorite movies and songs that I turn to when I kind of need to crack open and crack a smile on my face and feel better. So I challenged you guys to list a movie and a song that you use or you listen to cheer you up that works every single time. So Jen, you go first.
I gave this so much thought, Margo. So much thought.
Me too.
This almost, like, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to be able to pick. But this is what I'm going with, at least for today, and I have every right to change my answer in the future. But movie, without a doubt, I think, is, this was the easier one for me to do. French Kiss, Kevin Kline, Meg Ryan.
No way, I love that movie.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Timothy Hutton?
Yes, my friend Tish and I have watched French Kiss no fewer than 100 times together. And it is still one of those things where if one of us is having a bad day, I could call her and be like, you make my ass twitch. You people make my ass twitch.
That's what that's from. You guys say that all the time. And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about?
That's what we're talking about. French Kiss. Oh, this problem. I mean, I could like just quote it all day long.
Jen, but Jen, you're not going to believe this.
What?
My next door neighbor and I, we love that movie. And we have this thing between us that, when we're having a bad day, I'll put my little fist in the air and go, I will triumph. You know, like she did that in the scene.
When she's in the phone booth?
Yes.
I will triumph.
I do that all the time. Anyway, you continue.
I love French Kiss. Yes, I could continue on. We could do a whole podcast on French Kiss. So that. And then for my, cause it just always cracks me up, puts me in a good mood. It reminds me of so many good memories too, of like watching it with Tish and inside jokes and stuff.
Gotcha.
You get the idea. So my song, that's the one I really toiled over, cause I was like, oh, should I do like What You Waiting For by Gwen Stefani? Should I do Just a Girl by No Doubt?
Yeah.
Should I do a Queen song? Should I do like so many songs? I have decided to choose, it feels like Fat Bottom Girls is the obvious pick, so I didn't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But Another One Bites the Dust by Queen is actually my favorite Queen song.
It's great.
And yeah, and I don't know, cause it is kind of like, it's like, ah, shoota, which is not really, I'm not like a violent person, you know? So, me in a good mood, but it does. There's just something that just I don't know, it's like I like to think of my to-do list or whatever is like stressing me out, and then it's just like, dude, another one bites the dust, like kicking ass, going down the list, doing what I need to do, being me, boom. Got just enough swagger, you know.
I love it.
You need swagger to like lift you up out of a bad mood.
Totally. I love that choice. I played that this morning in my class. It's on my playlist.
It's a great song. Anytime that comes on at the gym, I'm just like, inside my head, I'm just like, oh, watch out.
Yep. Gotcha. What about you, Kristen?
Well, so I think for me, the song was easier. Although I did play around with the idea of Just a Girl because that's my, like, one of my, like, power-up songs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I always bop around to it. But Marvin Gaye, Gotta Give It Up.
Oh, yes.
Probably my one that I put on, like, it's like my kitchen song when I'm, like, making coffee or if I'm cooking and I just really can't quite get my head there where I want it to be. That's one of those that just always gets me kind of bopping around and feeling happy. The movie, so I've never seen French Kiss.
You must.
Apparently,
when we get together, we'll fix that. Yeah.
Yes. Sounds good. But the movie was really hard for me. I just came off. So as we're recording this, it's January. So December is still kind of top of mind for me. Mm-hmm. And I went on a bit of a binge with The Holiday with Cameron Diaz and Kate Winslet.
I've watched that many times.
Yeah. I tested how many times one person can watch that in one holiday season, but it just makes me smile every time. The whole relationship between Kate Winslet and the guy playing Arthur Abbott. But I just love it. Love it a lot.
Yeah.
So I'm having a really hard time getting past that, even though I know that it's not one that I watch throughout the rest of the year, but whenever I keep thinking of things that make me smile and laugh, like that's what's coming to mind. So I think that has to be my answer, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, Margo, you'll have to see it.
Yeah, I know. I've never seen it. And I love Cameron Diaz and I love Kate Winslet. And I don't know why has escaped my universe. I'm going to put that on my Amazon list right away.
It's not like a really good movie, you know, but it's like a really enjoyable movie.
No, but that's what it has to do.
Would you agree with that, Kristen?
Yes, I think so. Yeah, it's pretty, I mean, there's just a lot in it that's just like freaking adorable, you know? Some that's not, but yeah, a lot of totally adorable stuff. And also, if you come away from that and you don't want to redo your entire wardrobe to be just like whites and winter whites and a really cute little bob like Cameron Diaz, then you're a stronger person than I am. It's a struggle for me every time.
So I have my list too, and I struggled as well, you know, what I was going to pick. I mean, the movie I kind of knew, because it's the one I do pick when I know I need something, you know, get me out of this world. I got to just think of something else. That kind of, it always works. And it's called Blades of Glory. And it's Will Ferrell and Amy Poehler's in there. And it's about figure skating and it's a men's couples figure skating competition. And it is the silliest thing ever. It's just silly, but it makes me laugh every single. I love Will Ferrell. I love Will Ferrell movies, and that's the one I put on there. They have like cheesy 80s rock music on there. They have these over the top costumes. If you've never seen it, I totally recommend giving it a try. It's so funny and just so hilarious, and it's just so unlike anything that's happening in my life. You know, it just makes me feel good. You know what I mean? So that's my Blades of Glory, and then my song is also a Queen song. And it's an anthem song and it's called Hammer to Fall. And it's this 80s song that they did. I'll include it in the notes, but it's just this like throw your fist in the air and you're going to do it and you're going to rah, you know, it's like, I think it was a movie theme for one of those movies they had in the 80s for boys, but it's I put it on every once in a while. It shows up in my iPod shuffle and I'm like, yes. This is what I need right now. This is, you know, I just want to take on a competition or I want to beat somebody up or anything, you know, it just makes me feel so empowered. So that's my favorite song for that.
I love it. I've never seen Blades of Glory. I'm going to have to.
Guys, you got to see that.
I got to see that.
It's pure silliness, but it's so much fun. It's really, really fun. So this is great. Let's just go into this interview today. So once again, Kristen and I talked to Leslie Alderman. She wrote that article we just mentioned, The Year of Conquering Negative Thinking. If you want to check that out, it's at the New York Times. And what do you say, guys? Let's just go into the interview.
Let's do it.
Welcome back to the Fit Bound Girls podcast. Today, our guest is Leslie Alderman. She is a writer, editor, and psychotherapist. She received her undergraduate degree from Hamilton College, magna cum laude in psychology, and her master's of social work degree with honors from New York University. Currently, Leslie is a psychotherapist at New Pathways Counseling Center in Brooklyn, New York. She has been a staff writer for Money Magazine and an editor at Real Simple and regularly contributes to the New York Times Well blog. Her debut book, The Book of Times, A Compendium of Facts About Measured Time, was published in 2013 and was well reviewed by People, Parade, Yahoo, Mental Floss, and the New York Post. And in addition to that, she's also an avid yoga practitioner, and she teaches children and adults. She received her teaching certification from Om Yoga in 2009. And for the past 4 years, she served on the board of the Rosa Vera Fund, a nonprofit that provides healthcare to disabled children and their families in Bolivia. And we asked her to be a guest on our show today after reading her excellent piece in the New York Times, The Year of Conquering Negative Thinking, which offers practical advice on quieting negative thoughts in your brain, which is such a huge topic for our readers and followers. So we're so thrilled to have her on the show. Thank you for being here, Leslie Alderman.
Oh, my pleasure. It's really fun to be with you.
Thank you. So, Leslie, this is Margot. I'm going to ask the first question. And on the line today, Kristen is going on the show with me. She's based in Florida. I'm based in New York. So, Leslie, once I read your article in New York Times, I knew we had to have you on our show. I was so psyched you said yes, because our readers and followers are always asking for ways to develop more mindfulness and more to be more productive with their thinking. So you say in this article, humans have a more tendency to be more like Eeyore than Tigger, wherein we tend to dwell on bad experiences more than good ones. Why is that?
Well, I think this is such an interesting point, and in a way it helps us be more compassionate with ourselves when we are negative, in that it's sort of the way our brains are wired. And if you think about it in sort of evolutionary terms, it makes sense that you would be more tuned into negative things. Like, let's just say, and to tend to think that way, you are walking down the street and a car comes towards you, right, flashing lights, and you almost get hit by a car. So you're going to think about that pretty carefully, like, oh, I have to be careful of cars driving down the street with flashing lights. You know, let's say you have that experience when you're a little kid. That's an ambulance or that's a police car. They drive recklessly. So forever after, you're going to be vigilant about that. You want to remember things that are dangerous more than you remember things that are pleasurable, because that's survival. That's based on survival. What's happened, though, is in our present day, it's a little, it can go a little haywire when we end up dwelling on things negatively, because in a way we think maybe we can solve something if we go over and over it in our mind. And just because negative things take hold more deeply, they're more deeply embedded in our brain structures, right? Because once you think about something negatively, you tend to keep thinking about something negatively. So it's an old survival mechanism that we learn from sort of scary or dangerous things. It's made our mind more attuned to negative stimuli and negative events. So what we have to do as evolved humans is kind of learn to override and challenge those negative patterns that we get into, which is completely doable, but it's, you know, takes a lot of practice.
It does. And now, before we started recording today, we were chatting just a little bit about the fact that there's definitely a difference between someone who tends to get a little bit hung up on negative thoughts, or, you know, someone who realizes that they're spending too much time thinking negatively, and someone who is clinically depressed or, you know, really has a much bigger issue at play. And Leslie, you said something that I thought was really interesting, that it can even kind of become part of your identity that is like it's hard to let go. And this made me think, years ago, I was being treated for anxiety, and I was really having trouble letting go of this, because I'm like, no, but this is who I am. Like this whole like constant worry and this is what keeps me on top of things, and this is what makes me successful in so many ways. So, and I did actually have professional help to work through that. But with those ideas in mind, Leslie, I wondered if you could talk a little bit about how maybe some of our listeners can determine whether they're someone who might want to look into getting professional help. And I mean, as we go through this, you guys keep listening. If you haven't already read the article, like, we're going to go into a lot of really good tips for releasing negative thoughts. But before we get into that, we just did want to address the fact that we are totally aware that not everyone is just suffering from the occasional blue idea crossing their mind.
No, I think this is a really good point. And one thing that I really wanted to stress in the article is it's not just, oh, get over it. You know, mm-hmm. just stop being negative and get over it. Try these tips and you'll be fine. Because I think that can backfire and then you can feel bad about yourself because you can't stop being negative. So, you know, really take a look, like, are you chronically negative? Do people often say, gosh, you're so negative, or gosh, you're a downer? If it's really a chronic condition and you feel like it's influencing other parts of your life and you have a really hard time counteracting those thoughts, then you might want to consider seeing a professional for either cognitive behavioral therapy, which really helps you kind of reframe your thinking and help and teaches you really useful tricks to challenge the way that your mind works. That can be really helpful. Or if this is, you know, sometimes negative thinking is just, and it's a little uncharacteristic for you, can be a sign that you're in, you know, a clinically depressed funk. So if you have other symptoms, like you really don't even want to get up in the morning and you're dragging throughout the day, then that might also be the sign that you're really clinically depressed and you need help. I think after you get to the end of this podcast and you hear all the tricks and tips we're talking about, if you think there's no way that those would work for me, that might be a sign that you need a little help from someone who's trained to deal with issues like this, who's trained to deal with depression and anxiety, and to help you understand maybe where this comes from. You know, one of the things we were talking about is sometimes you've grown up in a really negative household, and you just have a really negative worldview, and you need someone to kind of help you understand where that came from and what that's about. So, yes, I'm all for professional help when necessary.
Just to say, you explained the first step to overcoming negative thoughts is to not stop thinking about them. So how does one continue with a thought and not stop thinking about them when they can feel so debilitating?
Yeah, I know. This is probably seems so counterintuitive to mm-hmm. someone. So I'll try to use an example. Let's just say, so I'm a writer. Let's just say I write a story and I turn it into my editor and my editor goes, wow, this is bad. Like, you got to redo this whole thing.
Oh, no.
And so, you know, the rest of the day, I'll think, wow, I'm such an idiot. Like, why did I think I was a good writer? Or I'm such a fraud. Finally, someone has caught on to me. I can go mm-hmm. in a spiral. Like, I'm such an idiot. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm such an idiot. Oh, my gosh. And it just comes this self-berating, flagellating thing. So if you just say, if you accept, you know, I feel bad about this feedback I got. I just feel bad about it. I'm feeling bad. I'm feeling negative. It doesn't mean anything more than that. I just own I'm having negative thoughts about myself. And you end it there. Because what happens is something called secondary anxiety or, you know, a secondary emotion. So you're then mad at yourself for having the emotion. So if I just say, I feel really bad about this feedback. Like, this is making me feel really bad and bad about myself. Like, instead of saying, you know, taking it on a cascade and going into some black hole, you stop it right there and you contain it. You just contain it and you just say, I feel bad about this. Like, this is making me feel bad. Because another thing that might happen is later in the day I'll say, why can't you control yourself? Like, why are you beating up on yourself? Mm-hmm. You just wrote one bad story. God, you're such an idiot. Like, get over it. You know, get on with it. Why are you in such a bad mood over this one thing that happened? So then you're mad at yourself for being mad. You know, you're being upset. And it's just, goes on and on. So somehow really containing it and accepting it helps you just kind of limit it. You just name what it is that you're dealing with. This is the technique that, you know, if you are trained in mindfulness meditation, that's what you train your mind to do this. And it really is, it's like a muscle. You really have to use it and use it, and then you get used to it by saying, like a friend of mine said to me the other day, you know, I've been just in such a funk, and I really, you know, I've been thinking maybe I need a new job, and, you know, maybe I should move, maybe I should leave New York. And then she said, you know what, actually, I just hate winter. And by hating winter, I just start to think everything is terrible. So,
right.
So when she was able to contain it, she realized all this negativity was like bleeding out into everything. And it was just like, I don't like winter, and winter puts me in a bad mood. If you can contain what it is that you're feeling, it doesn't bleed out into these other areas. And also, you know, bad feelings and negativity can make us kind of our minds go on overdrive so that we try to figure it out. Well, wait, why do I feel so bad about that? Well, what was that about? How did that happen? You become like a detective and your mind becomes exhausted and you're really not solving anything except driving yourself crazy. So the first step is to really just name what it is that's happening. What are you negative about? What are you upset about? Just name it.
Yeah. If you embrace the funk and you embrace the yuckiness out there, then it doesn't get to embrace you. You get to kind of keep it contained. I love that.
Yeah, it really does. It sort of puts like a little, a little ring around it. It puts it in a bubble rather than letting it seep so much. And this is not easy to do. So I'm just saying.
No.
Right.
For the skeptics out there. But once you practice, you really, I think you'll become a convert.
Excellent. Now, like a lot of people, I really like to think that I'm very, very helpful. And I have been guilty in the past of feeling like if I can just worry hard enough, I'll just solve all the problems. You know, my own, other people's, the world's. But I just have to sit here and worry, you know, really, really hard about it, which is not helpful, as I've learned. And it's actually super detrimental. And I know that it's something that a lot of people deal with. So, but it comes down for me to this idea of, like, I just want to feel like I'm doing something. So I wonder if you can speak to that a little bit, like some of the action steps for people who just want to feel useful or like they're doing something but would really like to not obsessively worry over something over which they have no control.
Okay, let's say, can you give me an example?
Let's say a friend of mine is going through a really difficult time with her husband, and she's not sure where things are going to land with that.
Yeah. So, and you're wondering, like, how could I help her with this?
Yeah. I want to fix it. I want to worry it away for her so she doesn't have to.
Kristen the fixer.
It works.
Yeah. I mean, one thing that is really useful is this idea of Socratic questioning, where you challenge your thoughts, or you can do it with someone else to help them challenge their thoughts. So let's just say that your friend is saying, I don't know what's going to happen with my marriage. I can't stop thinking about it. I feel like, this is what happens if we get divorced. They go down. You could say, okay, let's parse this. Let's say, okay, first of all, what good does it do you to think about it all the time? Very hard to do. And let's just take it to the logical conclusion. What are you really afraid of, right? What's the worst thing that could happen? Okay, the worst thing that could happen is that we'll get divorced. Okay, what would you do if you got divorced? Well, I'd try to find another mate, whatever it is. You keep questioning someone so that you get it. What is the underlying fear that they're going towards? And you kind of challenge it. Like, the other thing to do is say, how bad is the situation with your husband really? Like, is this really as bad as you think it is, or are you blowing it out of proportion?
Right. Do you just hate winter?
Or do you just hate winter?
Yeah.
Exactly. So you just help people challenge their beliefs and their fears, because often people become irrational. And if you say, well, let's really think this through, like, let me just challenge you on this, it can be very helpful, because it gets them out of sort of a stuck pattern of a stuck way of looking at things. So that, if you want to be useful to others and to yourself, that's a really nice skill to develop, the sort of Socratic questioning. And, sometimes if you're stuck inside your head, you can ask a friend to do it for you. Say, I can't stop thinking about this. I'm getting all, wound up about, the election, or I'm wound up about, maybe something happening to do with your kids. People can really worry a lot about their children. I'm worried my kid is, going to be a juvenile delinquent. He plays video games all day.
Right.
So it's like, okay, well, wait. Video games, juvenile delinquent, like, what? Oh, that seems like quite a leap. Like, how do you get from that place to that place? So it's really just, it's very just intelligent questioning.
that, because that's something like you can do for yourself, but you're saying if you're finding it hard to do that for yourself, you know, trying it with somebody you love and trust, you know, maybe that can help you think through your negative thoughts. So that's a really helpful tip. Also, I wanted to ask you about your yoga practice. Does that help you with negative thinking and mindfulness?
You know, one of the things I love about going to yoga is that I feel like it's a reset button. So I can go into a yoga class. Let's just say I'm still obsessing about, you know, my editor saying something mean about my story. That never happens, by the way. I'm just making that up. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, no.
Right. Let's just say we'll use that example. And I'm like, oh, why do I do this? It's too hard, blah, blah, blah. I go into yoga. I sit down. And it's like, wait, why would I worry about that? It's just like a simple place, and it's positive. And it's also a way to just, like, be in your body, and your mind can stop. Like, you're just doing your poses, you're concentrating on doing your poses right, you get your mind to stop, and then when you come out and the thoughts start coming back, you think, you know, maybe I got a little too wound up there. Maybe I was a little too hard on myself. Maybe I was just, like, involved in a cycle. So I think anything that you do to sort of get yourself out of your head, for some people that's exercise, for some people that's, like, going for a hike, depending on where you live, mm-hmm. Anything that can kind of get your mind to stop. And I think yoga is really good at that, in that a lot of, it depends what kind of practice you have, but if you can really go and practice and you're just thinking and being about what your body is doing and letting your mind be more quiet, it's really helpful, because then you get a distance from it and you're like, wow, that was kind of like overblown of me. Also, why am I beating up on myself? Like, what? Because yoga's really not about, like, you're not supposed to be mean to yourself in yoga class. The whole way there, you're like, oh, wait, yeah, I was just really beating up on myself. So I think any practice, which is meditation, yoga, your long walk, you're going to your gym, where you give your mind a break from itself, is really helpful, because then you begin to see it more objectively, like, wow, there I go again.
Yeah.
You know, so anything, any kind of practice you have that gives you some a little bit of distance or objectivity from the way your mind works, I think is really helpful.
Now, one of the tips you put some emphasis on in your article was the emphasis on using different breathing techniques, which I love, because I do that literally every day. And it made me wonder, with the breathing, and we can talk maybe a little bit about that, but are there any other things that maybe you do on a daily basis? Like, you wake up and these are kind of your maybe sort of proactive steps to make sure that you're just keeping everything at bay before it even starts to form as negativity in your head.
Yeah. You know what? Oops, my dog's barking.
That's okay. We're dog friendly. No, we're dog friendly.
Okay. I was going to say, one of the things that you ask me is, like, you know, what do I do to keep myself on track? And I'm sitting here with my dog on my lap, actually, talking to you guys. And it's like, I'm just such a pet lover. I feel like that's the thing that kind of calms me down, is having my dog, except when he barks at the doorbell. You know, there's a technique that I really love, and I do it. It's more of an end-of-day thing. And if I feel like, wow, like, my kid's being cranky. I have a teenager. If my kid's being cranky, my husband's getting on my nerves, my editor was, you know, hates my story, I think, okay, wait. What went well today? Yeah. What went well? Like, and then some people do it in the form of gratitude. I'm, just because of the way I'm wired, the what went well kind of works better for me. And then it gets me out of my woe is me, things aren't working, the world, you know, is falling apart. It's like, well, wait a minute. Today I got up and I took a yoga class. I worked on, you know, whatever I worked on that went well. I had a practice, a psychotherapy practice. I, you know, had this patient who had a great breakthrough. I just look at, like, wow, what went well? And then it just gets my mind out of that bad rut, because chances are, you know, unless you're in that clinical depression or things really are not going well, there were things that went well and there were things that you did well. because the part of the negative thing is we just start, it becomes very Eeyore-like, like the whole world is gloom. And you have to kind of shake yourself out of that as to like, wait a minute, you know, I did actually quite a lot of good things. I have a friend who's a lawyer, and he said that if he loses a case or something goes wrong in a case, he sits down and writes a list of all the things, all the cases that have gone well. And he looks back and he goes, oh, yeah, wait, I did all those things right, which makes me laugh because he's a pretty successful lawyer. And I was like, wow, you do that? Like, yeah. So all of us, like, no matter what level we're at, need to be reminded of, like, what's going well. So that, I just think that's a really simple technique.
Well, Kristen and I are both animal lovers, so we totally give you a high five for that. Yeah, she has dogs, I have cats. We totally agree that pets are very helpful with your heart rate and keeping you centered and balanced, for sure. So I wanted to bring up your book, The Book of Times. We had a snowstorm over the weekend. You didn't, Kristen, but we on the East Coast did. And I just...
It was cold here, for the record. I just want to say that. It was like in the 30s.
Wow, that is cold, actually.
Yes.
Okay.
It is cold. Okay, continue.
So we had a snowstorm, and I downloaded your book on my Kindle, The Book of Times, which is where you figure out how long it takes things. I love stuff like this for a variety of things, such as how long does it take to actually digest a hamburger, or how long does the average person spend daydreaming every day. I just love that stuff. So I wanted to ask you, what was the most surprising statistic you found with your research?
Oh, you know, there were so many things that were kind of quirky and – But that were interesting. But you just mentioned one about daydreaming, which mm-hmm. I found really interesting, like how much time we spend like letting our minds wander, which is a really good thing. I think it's great. But one of the things, and that was one particular study that in that study, what I found was interesting, that a lot of the times when our mind is wandering, we're actually not that happy. So.
Oh.
It's hard to know, right, what exactly is that? Is that when we're not happy, we just tend to, like, our mind tends to drift off? Or it's hard to know what the cause and effect. But one thing I do think that there is something to it makes me think about how when your life is structured, that a certain amount of structure is very useful for kind of healthy thinking. And what is an idle mind is the devil's playground or something. So as much as I love letting my mind go and having a lot of unstructured time in my life, I'm also very careful to have some amount of predictable structure, because I think too much mind wandering can lead you into a path of negativity and anxiety, actually. So that was one thing I thought was really interesting. Like, oh, wow, like when our minds are wandering too much, we tend to kind of go into a bad place. And I think it gets back to that thing about how our minds are wired a bit to rest on negative thoughts and negative patterns, blame evolution. So it's the kind of like we have to override that impulse a lot. So that was one thing, the whole mind wandering I thought was really pretty interesting. Was there something that caught your eye that you found fascinating that you were surprised by?
I wouldn't say I was surprised by it, but you know, we are a fitness outfit. You know, we talk about fitness and health, and the amount of time you need to work out every day and exercise you need is really only about 20 minutes a day, and that you can break it up into 10-minute increments, because people never believe us, but it's absolutely true. Like, in their days, I get maybe 10 minutes in the morning with a kettlebell, maybe like a 15-minute walk at the end of the day, and that's it. But that's 25 minutes, and I feel better when I do it. And, you know, some days you can do more, and some days, unfortunately, you do less. But I love that statistic, like 20 minutes in that, you could break it up. I think that's just like more people need to know that. They put this pressure on themselves, like, I got to work out an hour a day. It's like, no, you don't have to do an hour. If you don't have an hour,
right.
You can make
and
it
then
work.
They don't. Yeah, and then they don't do anything.
Right.
One of the things I was thinking that I also liked, that again, this was a study. I think they looked at Twitter feeds, and they tried to figure out like what was the sort of the qualitative tone of these when people were tweeting about things, and they found that people were happiest, like the happiest tweets were early in the morning, from like 6 a.m. to 9 a.m., and then again after dinner. So it's like the middle of the day is when people are crankiest. Now, that could be because you're at work and you're dealing with work stress or something. But I thought that idea of, like, tuning in to, like, what are your happier times of the day? Like, I'm more of a morning person, so when I wake up, I'm usually in a pretty good mood. You know, then things go wrong. I come home. And sort of after dinner is another time when people are happier. So I think it's good to kind of tune into, like, when are the times when your mind goes to a darker, more negative, more frustrated place? And usually it's like the middle of the day. So I think one thing you could do to remind yourself if you're feeling really negative or cranky about something is to say, you know what? I'm going to put this aside because it's the middle of the day and a million things are going wrong, and I'm going to deal with this thought tonight. And then it's because your mind tends to be a little happier in a better place at night, or according to this study, then it's a better time to deal with that. Some people, this technique works. It's called the stop technique, and it wasn't in this article. It was in another article I wrote. But it's like when you're fixated on something, whether, you know, it's a problem like your friend, a problem with her husband, or my problem with my mythical editor, say, you know what, I'm not going to worry about this right now. I'm going to worry about this later. I'm going to focus on this later when I'm in a better place. And maybe that's at home with your dog on your lap, or maybe that's at night when you're more relaxed. So that's another thing that you can do with negative, anxious, worried thoughts, is just say, I'm going to actually shelve that for a while. I'm going to get back to it later. Some people find it really effective. Some people think that's impossible. So I throw that out there to you and your listeners to give it a try.
I like it.
Me too.
Now, before we sign off, we have a question that we love to ask everyone who comes on the show.
Yeah.
And that is, what is the last song you listened to before you joined us for this podcast?
The last song I listened to, probably something my son was playing, which is rap and probably has explicit lyrics.
That's a really common theme, believe it or not.
We get a lot of that.
A lot.
It's funny because we listen to a lot of Kanye West, which politically I have problems with. But we also listen to a lot of The Weeknd. Do you know The Weeknd?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I can't feel my face.
Yeah, and I wish I could claim that I found all this on my own. But again, a teenager in the house, I kind of listen to what he listens to. So I'm a big fan of The Weeknd's latest singles and albums.
Yes,
I can't tell you the names.
Oh, I'm looking it up because the last single that came out I also really liked.
That I loved. Yeah.
Yeah. So Starboy is one that's
love
been on.
Starboy.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And then what's the other one?
I'm not in front of my computer. Oh. There's another one that's really great. It has something like feeling in the title.
I Feel It Coming.
Yes. I love that
one. Agreed. I am with you.
Oh, I'm getting those.
They're peppy.
I'm totally getting those.
You know, they're a little bit tormented, but I like that music. And I it's sort of fun to, like, listen to what, like, kids are listening to.
Oh, absolutely.
Agreed.
Yeah, totally. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today. I guess we should mention we talked about this off the air, but just going over, there's a great website called Psychology Today magazine has a great website. And if you're looking for a therapist, if that's something of interest to you, you go there, you just put in your zip code and you figure out what your insurance is and what kind of therapy you're looking for. It's a really great resource. It's totally free. So just wanted to put that out there for you guys. And, Leslie, thank you so much for being on the show. You're a great guest.
Oh, it was so much fun to be on, and you guys are great interviewers, and I love your podcast that you do.
Thank you.
Kudos to you.
Thanks.
Thanks so much, Leslie.
Okay, have a great day.
You too.
That's it for this episode of the Fit Bottom Girls podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. And if you like what you're hearing, feel free to subscribe to us on whatever platform you use to listen to podcasts. And if you love what you're hearing, yay, leave a few stars and reviews. That would be amazing. Be sure to follow us on all of our social media channels for Fit Bottom Girls, Fit Bottom Zen, Fit Bottom Eats, and Fit Bottom Mamas. You just spell it all out and you will find us. Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Pinterest, Instagram. Believe me, you will find us. If you want to reach out to say hi, have a question about a recent episode or interview, feel free to email us at podcast@fitbottomgirls.com. And if books and movies are also your thing, check out the other podcast I co-host called Book vs. Movie, which you can find anywhere where you search for podcasts. Thank you so much once again for dropping by. And remember, a life filled with laughter is a life well lived. Bye.